I see George's mushroom and Caesar's cap too, breathed Sorrel.
We call that lake the Eye of the Moon,
called Berber Chan as Fire Drake made for the shimmering water.
Fly over it! Fly to where...
But Twigleg interrupted.
No! Don't! Don't fly over the water!
He struggled out of the lambskin.
You great furry fool!
He shouted at Berber Chan.
You didn't say anything about a lake! You didn't breathe a word!
Who are you calling a great furry fool?
Berber Chan turned around crossly, but the homunculus ignored him.
Fly higher! Fire Drake! Higher!
He croaked, tugging at the straps.
The lake is a gateway! An open gateway!
But Fire Drake had realized what he meant. Beating his wings strongly, he rose and headed toward the opposite bank. He looked down anxiously, but nothing seemed to be moving. Only a few snowflakes melted into the black waters. With a sudden jolt, the dragon landed on a rocky ledge many hundreds of feet above the shimmering flowers. Trembling, he folded his silver wings.
I don't see anything, Fire Drake,
said Sorrel, looking intently into the night.
I really don't.
Annoyed, she turned to Twigleg, who was huddled in Ben's lap, shivering.
That mannequin will drive us crazy. How could his old master possibly get here so fast, may I ask?
Leave him alone,
said Ben brusquely. Can't you see he's frozen? With stiff fingers that even the monk's gloves could not keep warm, Ben reached for the thermos flask of tea and carefully gave Twigleg a sip. Then he had a sip himself. The peculiar taste almost turned his stomach, but a comfortable warmth spread through him. Fire Drake stood there, never taking his eyes off the surface of the lake.
At any rate, we have a head start on the monster, whispered Sorrel. He can't fly.
We'd only have a head start if there wasn't any water here, you stupid pointy-eared nitwit,
snapped Twigleg. He was not trembling quite so badly now that he had drunk a little hot tea.
Are you telling me that the lake down there isn't water? I warn you, he's probably here already, watching us.
For a moment, they were all silenced by shock.
Then we have a problem, growled Berber Chan. I shouldn't show you the way into the dragon's cave if the golden one is watching, right?
No. Fire Drake shook his head. He's learned too much from us already. We can approach the cave only when we know for certain that Nettlebrand isn't around. Anxiously, he looked down at the lake. Have we really let him hear? He murmured. The valley was even more beautiful than he had imagined it in his dreams. Fire Drake gazed at the rim of heaven, looking down at the sea of blue flowers covered with moon dew and breathing in the fragrance that rose from them. Then he closed his eyes and felt the presence of other dragons nearby. He sensed it clearly as the scent of the flowers, as clearly as the cold night air. Fire Drake opened his eyes again, and they were dark with anger. A growl emerged from his throat. Alarmed, his friends looked at him. I will fly down, said the dragon, by myself. If Nettlebrand is there, then he'll come out.
Nonsense! Cried Sorrel, horrified. What are you talking about? Even if he does come out, are you planning to tackle him on your own? He'd make a single mouthful of you, and we'll be stuck up here on this rock till the end of our days without any mushrooms. Is that what we flew halfway around the world for? No! If anyone's going down, it must be someone he won't notice.
She's right, Fire Drake, said Ben. One of us must find out whether Nettlebrand's lurking down there, and if he really is, then we must distract his attention so that you and Berberchank can reach the dragon's cave unobserved.
Exactly.
Lola Greytail jumped out of Ben's backpack, hopped up on his knee, and spread her short forelegs wide.
I volunteer, no problem, rat's honor. This is the ideal job for me.
Huh?
Sorrel poked her scornfully in the chest.
So you can come back and tell us that he isn't there, same as last time?
The rat gave her a nasty look.
Anyone can make a mistake, Furface, she hissed. But this time, I'll take the humble Clumpus with me. He must know his old master's tricky ways better than anyone, right?
Twigleg gulped.
Me?
He asked.
Me? Go in that plane? But
it's a good idea, Twigleg, said Ben. The two of you are so small, I'm sure he won't even notice you. Twigleg shivered.
And suppose we see him?
He asked in a trembling voice.
Suppose he really is down there? Who's going to distract his attention?
Don't you worry, Hamilcar,
said Lola. Her eyes were positively shining.
If we spot him, I'll give the signal by looping the loop. Then we'll divert the monster, and Firedrake will fly to the cave as fast as he can and disappear into it.
Divert him?
Said Twigleg faintly.
How?
Wait and see.
Lola clapped him so hard on the shoulder that he almost fell headfirst off Firedrake's back.
All you have to do is keep your eyes open. I'll do the flying.
That's a great comfort, I'm sure,
murmured Twigleg.
Okay, only one more question. What's looping the loop?
Turning the plane upside down in the air, replied Lola. Gives you a lovely tingly feeling in your tummy. Absolutely indescribable.
Oh, really?
Twigleg nervously rubbed his nose.
It's not a bad plan, muttered Berber Chan. It could just work.
I don't know, growled Sorrel. I don't like leaving everything to these two little titches.
Oh, you don't? Fancy flying down there yourself, Furface?
Inquired Lola.
Come on, let's go, Humblecuss!
She took Twigleg's hand.
We're going to make ourselves useful,
she said and turned to Firedrake.
Comes in handy having a couple of really small people along, right? Ta!
Firedrake nodded.
Very handy, he replied. I'll tell you something, Lola. I believe the world will belong to small people one of these days.
That's okay by me,
said Lola. Then, with Twigleg in tow, she climbed over Ben's knees, scuttled along Firedrake's back, and guided the homunculus down to where her plane was still safely tied to the dragon's tail. They undid the thin chains, Lola opened the cockpit, and the two of them climbed in. With a faint smile, Twigleg cast a last glance at Ben, and the boy waved to him. Then, Lola Greytail started the engine. Its hum filled the night air like the chirping of crickets as the little plane took off with the two scouts on board, swooping down toward the eye of the moon.